We've been going through a lot of the standard Sfarim in the world of Halacha, so we've spoken a little bit about the Torah and different commentaries on the Torah, the Beis Yosef and the Bach. We're going to speak today in Darche Moshe. We're speaking today about two Sfarim written by the same author, the Prisha and the Drisha. Those are Sfarim that are very, very important to be aware of. They're written by Rav Yoshua Walk Katz, also the author of the Sma, Sefer Me'iras Einayim, the Sekeilim on Choshen Mishpat. He wrote a bunch of different Sfarim, but he wrote two Sfarim on the Torah called the Prisha and the Drisha. A couple of things to be aware of. First of all, as a third Sefer also on the Torah, of a Hosafos, but as we noted, there are two kinds of Sfarim that are written on the Torah. The Beis Yosef wasn't really writing a Sefer on the Torah. He was writing a Sefer on all of Torah, and he used the Torah as a good springboard. The Ramah and Darchei Moshe did something similar. In contrast to that, the Bach wrote a Sefer really like on the Torah. That was a major goal, was to explain the Torah. The Sefer Prisha and the Drisha is probably in different ways elements of both, of wanting to explain the Prisha, wanting to explain the Torah, but also to elaborate. He decided to do so in different ways. One interesting ha'ara, he wrote a couple of different Sfarim with different names, and he had different like acronyms associated with him. So the Chida points out in Shem HaGadolim that there were people that didn't know it was all the same person. That is not mean if you want to know like what did Rove Poskim say, and you're quoting the same person like three times, and it's like he says a lot of Sfarim. That doesn't mean Rove Poskim say it. It means he wrote several different Sfarim. And if you have like stiras between things, it's good to know who's the same person, different person. So sometimes there was confusion as far as how he goes. He wrote his Sefer. His Hagdama is fascinating. He goes almost through like a summary of Torah Shebaal Peh, of a history of like what brought us to where we are now in his era. He talks about the rush, talks about the tour, and he's trying to justify, as many do, why he's writing a Sefer on the Prisha, on the tour. Like, what is he doing? Especially, he's a Talmud and a relative of the Ramah and of the Marshal, which means he's writing a Sefer post-Beis Yosef. He's writing a Sefer post the Ramah and Darchei Moshe, and he's self-aware enough to know, like, why am I writing a Sefer? Like, there already are good Sfarim that are out there. So he lists actually five reasons, five benefits of his sefer. Let me begin by just pointing out like this. The first reason he says is that because the Tor and the Beis Yosef, said the Beis Yosef writes, this is a tricky thing. So much of what he writes is with like Gemara, Rishonim, all mixed together. Sometimes it's hard to know, like, how do we actually paskin? What do we actually say? So part of the goal is telling you, like, Lemaisa, how do we paskin? Instead of skimming a really long Beis Yosef, get the maskana. Number one, I want to tell you exactly how we paskin. The second thing is he says there are certain things the Beis Yosef wrote where he actually was briefer than you would have thought. Sometimes when you're really, really good in learning, like the Beis Yosef, so you assume that people know certain things. So he wanted to write his Sefer and also to fill in, especially, he says, in Choshen Mishpat. Beis Yosef was a bit briefer in Choshen Mishpat. So to elaborate and to fill in things, that would be very, very helpful. The third reason why he wants to write the Sefer is the Beis Yosef often asks kashas on the Torah. And he wants to do his best to be miyashiv those particular kashas. But then the Beis Yosef rejects a question, a comment of the Torah, so he comes along to try to explain it. The fourth reason he wants to write the Sefer, which is fascinating, is like, because the Beis Yosef isn't the Sefer on the Torah. The Beis Yosef is a Sefer of Torah in general, loosely associated with the Torah. It is often there may be difficult lines in the Torah the other doesn't really explain, and therefore he wants to try to explain them as much as possible. And he says, also, I have my own almost like shtickle Torahs that are going on here. People that wrote certain things that disagree with their own Torah that I want to be able to share. What is the difference between the Prisha and the Drisha? Why are there two Sfarim if they're basically the same? So he says, the Sefer Prisha, is really his very basic explanation of what took place in the Torah. It's just a to be mefarish, in a much briefer way of what exactly took place. That can be very helpful sometimes. Learning a Torah, it's not so clear. Prisha will explain. The Drisha are his like longer pilpulim, his longer discussions about what exactly takes place. That is part of it. He writes, interestingly enough, that he wanted to write a Sefer that was going to have all the dinim in the Beis Yosef, plus things not in the Beis Yosef, additional things that were not in the Beis Yosef. But he was nervous, and it looked too similar to what the Ramah was doing in Darchei Moshe. The Ramah, he's a Talmud and a relative of the Ramah. He was nervous it wasn't lefi chvodo of the Ramah
to write a sefer that looked so similar, even though he'd be adding a little bit. So he also pivoted a bit, and there's these haggos, or these like extra mekoros that aren't found in the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, but that's more or less what you get. So at the bottom of the tour, we've pretty much gone through a lot of just the makeup of the tour in the middle. Beis Yosef, Bach, Prisha, Drisha, to know that page in Halakha is massively, massively important, to know what they're doing, what their goals are, and to be able to be, I guess, more comfortable addressing it. Their son wrote an interesting thing. This is a fascinating phenomenon. In the Hakdama, I'm at least very, like, I'm fascinated by this. There's a kasha that's, I saw this online that someone asked this question. It's mefurish in the Hakdama. But that's the question, which is that there were people quoting the Prish and the Drisha before the Sefer was even published. There were people, the Eliyahu Rabbah quotes the Prish and Drisha, the Sefer wasn't actually even published yet. So what exactly was going on? So his sons write in the Hakdama, aside from some fascinating things where they quote their mother, the wife of the Prish and the Drisha, with some certain chidushim in, I bet Neir Shabbos, that's a little bit, you know, well known. But there is a, but they write that there were manuscripts floating around of the Prisha and the Drisha. And these manuscripts floating around, it was never formally printed. And it wasn't that well known, but people had it. And there were people that if you wanted to establish yourself as being really good in learning, so you would just have this manuscript Prisha and Drisha. A lot of chevra were learning Tor at that particular era. It was a great sefer to go with. And you would just go and you suddenly start saying pshat in the Tor. Or you would drop a mar makom that wasn't in the Tor Beis Yosef. And it was a way of getting like a degree of learning capital that suddenly you knew like all these things. And then you wouldn't necessarily identify it as being the Tor, the Prisha, the Drisha. You would just sort of like, you know, do your thing a little bit. It's only, so then the son said, I felt even more pressure, Laman, the covet of my father. He says, the interesting thing is that there were things that my father wrote. This is like one of these interesting things in like in learning sometimes. There's like, there always is like that standard pshat in a machlokas, like the standard pshat in a machlokas. And someone had to say the standard pshat first. So if I would get up now and I would say like a vort, but like the whole world says that vort, so you would look at me and you're like, everyone knows that. But there is that first person who said it. And that first person, you know, was amazing. He says, my father had these like, he was saying the original Torahs, but now it's like so standard to say it this way that people don't even think it's like associated with him. They think it's just like the famous thing that people say over. So I want to get my father's sefer and the priest of the Drisha so that people, he'll get some of his credit and people aren't going to necessarily steal it. It's like a great act of Kibbutz Avim to make sure the sefer is actually going to get published. But that's why you can find the phenomenon of certain Sfarim that are quoting the priest of the Drisha even before it actually came out. And these Sfarim matter a lot. I think the Bach writes, remember in his Hakdama, that one of the reasons why he wants to write a sefer is because much as he likes elements of Prish and Drisha, he actually disagrees with it a lot, and he wants to be able to take on the Prish and the Drisha. These Sfarim were very, very important, just like the Siman, Shulchan Aruch, that we'll speak to Be'ezra Hashem, when we speak, as we, I think, probably next week, begin with the Shulchan Aruch and some of the Notes of Shulchan Aruch, going through them, but at least some interesting Torah to be aware of here in the Prisha and the Drisha. Okay. Plan for today is... A